course, we're going to start off with the President of the United States and his speech yesterday, press conference, about 2 hours long. And where do we, I mean, how do you start with this? The poll numbers for the president are amazingly bad. And, you know, I'm never happy about failure. And what I mean by that is when a president's agenda is failing, America is not necessarily failing as a nation, but we're not succeeding either. I don't agree with a lot that this president does. I don't. I don't agree with the agenda. I don't agree with the direction. But I don't like to be viewed by the rest of the world and be questioned. I didn't like when they were questioning President Trump's mental acuity. I thought that it was bad for the country. It was a national security issue. And the same thing is happening now. But the poll numbers for the president, only 48% of Democrats in this most recent poll want him to run for reelection. That is amazing. So I want you to hear a little bit about yesterday in the questioning. He was asked, did he overpromise?
I didn't overpromise, and what I have probably outperformed what anybody thought would happen. The fact of the matter is that we're in a situation where we have made enormous progress. You mentioned the number of deaths from COVID. Well, it was three times that not long ago. It's coming down. Everything's changing. It's getting better.
He is either completely out of touch with what the American people believe he has done or hasn't done, or he's just lying. I mean, he's just saying something to try to convince people. No one believes that he has outperformed anything. And that's been the issue. Democrats are upset that his agenda is not being pushed through. One of the questions that was asked of him was about black voters, which is a very loyal demographic for him, thinking that he's not pushing hard enough on some of his voting rights agenda and he's done too little too late. So demographics that are in his camp are running away. Less than half of his party in this poll thinks that he should run for reelection. That's somebody. Those are people that want to be on his side. Those are people that will defend him because they like his agenda and they're upset. So what's interesting about this, I'm giving you poll numbers. He was asked about the polls. I thought this was humorous. He was asked about polling.
How do you plan to win back moderates and independents who cast a ballot for you in 2020, but polls indicate aren't happy with the way you're doing your job now?
I don't believe the polls.
I don't believe in polls, or I don't believe the polls. This is him as well.
A lot of the speculation in the polling data shows that the cables are heading south.
About one third of Americans report they don't wear a mask at all.
So there is the president of the United States citing polls, but when he's asked about his dismal poll numbers, I don't believe the polls. That's the kind of stuff that people, you know, if you're someone just watching this or listening, if you were listening yesterday while you were driving home and listening to the president speak, those are the kinds of things that people pull out of these press conferences. The double talk and the stuff that makes you shake your head and say, what's he talking about? There were so many important issues he talked about, and we're going to get into them this morning a little bit later on, but Afghanistan and Ukraine and Russia. By the way, he botched the Ukraine-Russia comments so much that after it was over, even CNN said, man, there's got to be a cleanup there. It didn't need some cleaning up in that comment. And the White House had to come back and clean up his comments on Russia and Ukraine. So I don't know. In some people's minds, there will be some people, because it's all, you know, all of us are looking at this from our own lens. There are a lot of people that think, or some people will think, that the president did a very good job. And one of the things that CNN said yesterday was, well, if you didn't believe that he would just stand up there and take it, he did that, mission accomplished, or whatever they said. And I found that to be odd, that in 1 year in office, you've done one press conference like this, and somehow that was an accomplishment. And that's what I'm saying. Those are the people that want him to succeed. Those are the people that want to say good things about him. And 48% of that party want him to run for reelection. He is, and now it's only 1 year. You know, he's got, it seems like longer to me, but it's only been 1 year. So he still has another few years, at least the next two years, to prove himself and get his poll numbers back to where they're supposed to be. But when you hear a press conference where he seems so out of touch and defending and saying, not just, I think that people are mischaracterizing, or I don't think that we've been getting credit for some of the things we've done. I understand the frustration. I understand. No, he says, I didn't overpromise, but I outperformed. If this president really believes he has outperformed any other president in their first year, and that's one of the comments he made, and I think a reporter asked him a question, and his response was to ask back, has any other president accomplished what I've accomplished in my first year? And the reporter responds back by saying, I asked you the question. And there's no way that this president, with what's happening in America right now, when he talks about creating 6 million jobs or whatever the number was he threw out there, we have not seen the president's economic plan yet. What we have seen of his plan has been the executive orders, but we haven't seen a budget passed. We haven't seen the tax increases that he promised passed. Those are going to tell the story about the Biden economy. What will that do to the economy? But what we see right now isn't doing that. What we're seeing now are the regulations. Again, gas prices, we were just talking about, you know, the possibility of $4 per gallon gasoline. The average American voter and the Democratic Party says they are fighting for the working Americans. That's been, if you're going to stereotype political parties, the Republicans are the upper middle class, wealthy white people. And the Democrats are the working class people and people of color. That's how they're stereotyped. Well, when those very people that are working class, the ones that suffer the most from bad decisions, and they do, they're the ones right now suffering. And they don't have anyone else to blame, because there isn't anyone else to blame. When you go after the fossil fuel industry, when you take away America's ability to drill for oil and create their own fuel and be energy independent in the name of climate change, which was another thing. And I've said before, I believe that everything that this administration does and will do is under the umbrella of climate change. I think that is the number one issue for this administration. And the president cited it yesterday, talking about climate change and what needs to be done and what they're doing. And whether you agree or disagree with that being the number one issue, I believe it is for this administration. And in the name of climate change, they have destroyed our ability to be energy independent. We have turned the ability to control the cost of drilling for oil or a barrel of oil over to OPEC and to Russia. And I've said before, Russia is a glorified gas station. Why would the Russians want to lessen the price of fuel or of oil? It doesn't do their economy any good. OPEC, the same way. They're going to say no. They are now, and we're hearing about $100 a barrel again, and they are kind of feasting on all of this right now. And the U.S. really has nothing other than to ask them to do something different, which we're not doing. So the American people are frustrated, and the very people that he needed to talk to yesterday about what he was accomplishing, unless you believe that CNN and the rest of the media is against him, forget the media you know is going to question him the way they do. Forget Fox News, you know, or Newsmax or One American News. Those outlets are going to question him the way they are. But when the NBC polling data says 48% of Democrats don't want him, or only 48% want him to run again, you have to admit he's got issues. We're going to talk a lot more about this as the morning goes on. In a moment, we're going to be joined by Kim Komando. Kim does a nationally syndicated radio show. She has a television show, and it's all about tech. It's everything to do with the electronics and equipment that you use. And she knows more about this 5G rollout. How is it going to affect you? Is it going to affect you directly? And if so, how? We're going to ask her that question next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Appreciate you spending some time. Scheduled to have Kim Komando join us in a couple of moments, and we're just waiting to get through to her people. And if we can make that happen, we will here in a few moments. In the meantime, let's get back to some of the things that happened yesterday with the President of the United States and some of the things that he said. I want you to hear this again. In my opinion, there is a reason why, again, Republicans are never going to like Joe Biden's policies. We just disagree in principle with what he thinks is the right thing for the country to be doing. That's just how it is. And so you don't gauge a president's popularity by what the opposition thinks of him. What does his own party think? But also, most importantly, especially in Arizona, with the huge number of independent voters. Remember, the demographics in Arizona, independent voters make up the second highest voter registration in Arizona. It's Republicans, then it's independents, and then it's Democrats. And so that those independent voters, and he has got such a dismal approval rating. He was well over 60%, almost 70% approval when he took office. He is now in the 30 percentile right now with independent voters. And here's one of the reasons. I want you to hear his commentary or his comments. It's just a short piece of it about his defense of Afghanistan.
My dad used to have an expression. He says, son, if everything's equally important to you, nothing's important to you. There is no way to get out of Afghanistan after 20 years easily. Not possible, no matter when you did it. And I make no apologies for what I did. I have a great concern for the women and men who were blown up on the line at the airport.
See, when he says I make no apologies, it wasn't that we left Afghanistan. And this is where the political debate always happens. What upset people about Afghanistan wasn't that we left. And when people started saying, well, Trump started it, and he did start it. Trump did start it. There's no doubt about that. But it's not if you leave, it's how you leave. And there isn't a military expert that I know of that was defending the manner in which we left. You know, we have left, if you don't know this, we have troops that have been left, and we have Americans that are still in Iraq. And whether they're troops or not, there are paid contractors. There is still a small military presence, or there was when that was pulled out of Iraq, when we left the way we did. It created a vacuum, and that was what everybody was concerned was going to happen. And when it happened in Iraq, ISIS was created. And ISIS controlled the entire northern border of Iraq with Syria. They controlled much of northern Iraq. The atrocities they were committing against fellow Muslims. It wasn't that they were killing more Muslims than the Allied troops did in these wars. They were murdering their own people based on philosophical differences. They were doing horrible things, execution style. And so the concern was this could happen in Afghanistan. And there is no way, unless the American intelligence is absolutely, without a doubt, completely failed, that they didn't see the Taliban growing and moving and taking over in the days leading up. We completely abandoned an airfield, not blew it up, not made it unusable. We left it. And we left, our troops left before the other Americans were out. It makes absolutely no sense. And I'm not a military expert. I don't imagine most of you are, but you have common sense. And when you have people abandoning ship and leaving the women and children on the deck instead of it being women and children first, there's an issue. There were former members of the military. There were Iraq and Afghanistan veterans who were going and saying, we are going to get our buddies, our teams back together, and we're going to charter private flights to get Americans out. There are still over 100 Americans in Afghanistan that want out. And anytime you say, I don't make any apologies for this, it is crazy. So we can have arguments about how the media portrays things and how the media covers and the media. I mean, that's just an argument that is about personal opinion. And this was a failure. It was an immense failure, yes, for the military and those troops that were killed, but innocent people that were left behind, the people that were left, you know, women in Afghanistan in the 20 years that we were there had made great strides. And there had been this opening of the door of equality. We fight here in this country, and it's a valuable fight. I'm not diminishing the fight. I think it's one to have. We talk about wage equality. We talk about the Me Too movement and sexual harassment and equal treatment and equal pay for equal work. We are arguing on that level in this country. In Afghanistan, women are now afraid because they're educated. It is they have gone back in time hundreds of years. And it's sad. It's a shame that it's happened. But for the president, when he answered the question, and everybody gives him credit for taking the question, yeah, he stood up there and took the questions. But his answers were disingenuous or completely out of touch with reality. That's why less than half of his own party wants him to run for re-election. That's why independent voters that were two-thirds in his favor are now a third. And he's lost so many people. And I don't think that press conference helped him at all, at all. What we're going to do in a moment is Gatos joins me. We do it every morning, and it's the Big Q poll question of the day. And then right after 9 o'clock, we are having statewide candidates on as often as we can. And we've had him on this week. We had Kerry Lake on, gubernatorial candidate, Matt Salmon, former congressman and gubernatorial candidate. And we're going to have Karen Taylor Robeson on just after 9 o'clock, who is making a big splash, and people are getting to know her a little bit. And I believe she's going to be a big factor in this primary election. We're going to get her take on the gubernatorial race and what she would do. So you're a little bit more of an informed, educated voter. We'll have that interview right after 9 o'clock. But Gatos joins me next.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
Hey, good morning, Gatos.
Didn't get much sleep last night.
Why not?
Well, I mean, that Biden press conference exhilarated me. And, I was so excited about the two-hour event that
you were amped up, huh?
I was unable to get some Z's last night.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, gosh.
I was a little bit envious of you yesterday.
Really?
Yes, because I was watching as well. Mm. And I was, like, you know, writing things down, taking some notes for this morning to give my response. And I thought, you lucky dogs got to respond in real time. I mean, right after.
Yeah, it's funny. If you look at it, was I lucky? Well, I was forced to listen to it because we carried it live at 2 o'clock. You know, he only gave 15-minute statement, and then he took questions for about an hour and 40 minutes. I'm surprised he lasted 2 hours.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it's funny. You watched it because you knew you were going to talk about it the next day. I just got it over with during the show.
Right.
So that's like you pulled the curtain back a little bit. At least I didn't have to watch it on my leisure, I guess. I was forced
on
in
your
the moment.
Time. I see. So I watched it on my time.
You did.
But
yeah.
you were actually on the clock.
Yeah, and that's probably better because that was a bunch of hot garbage. I mean, you know, it's so strange with these presidents. Yet with Trump, you know, you have a press conference and he's going to call you every name in the book. The reporters are going to call him every name in the book. And it's just a blank show. It's like a wrestling match. And I didn't like that. Even though it was entertaining, I didn't think it was good. But, you know, and Biden's Biden. He's just boring. And, you know, what did he say? He overproduced? I mean, come on, man.
He outperformed.
He outperformed.
He didn't overpromise. He outperformed.
He has, you know, I think Chad nailed it. I think you got to go up there and say, listen, that was a terrible year. I did pretty bad. I'm going to try and do better the second year. I probably would have said, hey, good. That's at least an honest answer because his first year is terrible.
At least say, I can understand why people are upset or have the perception that we're not accomplishing things and try to give an explanation and not say, no, I don't make any apologies for Afghanistan. No.
Yeah. But no Republican would say that either. No,
not saying they would, but they're not president right now.
I know. It's just like you'd like them to be a little honest. That was a rough year. You know, and then just go from there. So.
All right, I got 1 minute. What's
the
question?
Great Biden's.
Oh, I love this question.
Yeah, great President Biden on his first year in office.
Okay.
ABCDF. I'll just update it for you. I'm going to go D.
Okay.
All right. The number one answer is F, 58%.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue that.
As he said, as vice president, this is a big effing deal. And it was.
I want to see him do better because, You know, I don't think the country's in good shape right now.
I
want to see him do better.
I agree with you. And that's the thing. I don't agree with his policies based on my politics, but I don't want to see the country not succeed. So I'm with you on this. I want to see some success.
I hear you, man.
All right, man.
Need some.
Thanks, Gatos.
Okay, man. I'll see
you. All right. That's Gatos and the Big Q poll question of the day brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. Coming up just after 9 o'clock in our continuing quest to help you be informed voters, Karen Taylor Robeson, candidate for governor, joins us to talk about her campaign. It happens next.